Black Heart Cinema Podcast, come back at you.
Yep, we watched another movie.
We did. It's me, Fletcher, joining me as always.
Me.
A Whitehead son, and I'm going to go ahead and let him take it away.
We watched one of my personal favorite movies. We watched Akira Kurosawa's classic, Throne of Blood.
Great fucking movie.
Yes. Quick explanation, because I don't think we really need to I don't think we have to hit it beat for beat, because
Time of story.
He basically, Kurosawa, readapted Shakespeare's Macbeth.
Which, great story.
Changed it and basically set it in Japanese medieval feudal
Japan.
And it works.
It really does. I mean, again, Kurosawa, like I was saying before we hit record, if not the one of the greatest of all times to ever do it. Like, would have always loved to see him do something like with someone like Kubrick. I would like to see them just write something.
Yeah.
That would have been just awesome. I don't care who made it, even if some other person made it. But you're the Kurosawa man here, to be honest, out of the two of us.
I have seen a lot of Kurosawa movies. But yeah, basically it's Macbeth and Kurosawa's premier actor, Toshiro Mifune, plays Macbeth in this movie, and he fucking kills it.
He does.
He kills it in all the movies I've ever seen him in. Yojimbo, badass. Rashomon, funny. And then The Bad Sleep, well, disturbingly efficient.
And also, too, a point to mention, you just brought up Yojimbo. Also been adapted other times, and it works. Which Dollars trilogy is Yojimbo?
Yojimbo inspired Sergio Leone into making Fistful of Dollars, which is followed up by For a Few More Dollars, and then ended with The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
And also, too, basically, Yojimbo readapted again in Last Man Standing, which we did episode.
Yes, all, yeah, which is also a great movie, just because that's a great story.
And it works.
And the setting doesn't fucking matter.
It works with bootleggers in a small desert Texas town. And
yeah.
Kurosawa, great writer, too, I think it should be noted. Sorry, I'm having a technical issue over here real quick.
Yeah, he's got his hand deep in a bag.
Keep it going. I'm my bad.
Oh yeah, I'm just trying to. I'm just thinking of all the good Kurosawa movies I've watched over the years. Another one that's been adapted. The one movie he's probably always going to be remembered for is Seven Samurai.
Absolutely.
Remade into the Magnificent Seven.
Right.
And remade again as another cowboy version, Magnificent Seven with Chris Hemsworth. Didn't watch it.
Right.
Never watched the old cowboy remake.
I've got the old Yul Brynner one.
Yeah, I have it too. I've just
it's good.
Never watched it because I know it'll never be as good as Seven Samurai.
Just give it a shot, man. Just look, watch as a Western. It is good. And the one with Denzel and who'd you say it was?
Chris Hemsworth.
No, it's Pratt. It's Andy.
I think it's both of them.
No, Thor's not in the new one. It's Star-Lord. They're all Chris's.
I could have sworn he was.
No,
I felt like both of them were.
It's Pratt. It's Star-Lord that's in that one. I can't remember which.
Is Chris Evans in that too?
No, that's Captain America. He's not in that one. It's Ethan Hawke. I mean, Denzel's the main one. He's the Yul Brynner character.
He is the Kambe character. Get it right.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
Kambe's
the man.
Because it's just a straight remake of the Yul Brynner one.
Yeah.
From like... Now I can't believe that one's almost 10 years old. The remake of Yul Brynner, but
yeah,
but that one's okay. It's oddly enough the guy that made fucking Training Day. It's and the first Equalizer. It's Antoine Fuqua.
Oh, okay.
Oddly enough, that directed that remake of the Yul Brynner one.
I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
I've only seen Return of the Magnificent Seven one time though, the follow up to. They made a sequel to the Yul Brynner Western one.
Oh, okay. So I didn't.
But I digress. Back to fucking Throne of Blood.
Throne of Blood, which I used to have. We almost watched the Criterion version of it, but one of my friends somehow lost my Criterion version of it. They let borrow it, and I was very distraught. And he felt my pain and was like, look, I will buy you another one. Didn't get me a Criterion Collection version, but at that point, I didn't really give a fuck. I just wanted that movie back because I love this movie. And I love the story of Macbeth. Probably the, like, fuck Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
Fuck Hamlet. Macbeth only.
That's why I was telling you, you need to check out Coriolanus, that movie sometime. That's a Shakespeare one, too.
Yeah. That was one I always meant to watch, but then just never did.
Didn't they do a
Macbeth? Then movie rental stores died.
Out of nowhere. Or not out of nowhere.
We saw it.
We were there till the end. I had a video account till like 2 years ago, video store account till our last Bastion closed here in town.
Yeah.
Shout out to Movie World, one of the greatest rental stores ever.
Yes.
You know where you're at, Movie World.
Yeah,
was that Movie
you're
World?
You're dead as fuck. Yeah, it was Movie World in Kentucky.
And it was great.
That's hands down the best movie rental place I've ever been to.
Same here. That was the only place I ever knew that would be like, oh, we don't just have movies. We get every edition of a movie. Like, when you remember how they used to be like, the single disc would come out first, then the two-disc special edition of something's going to come out like a year later, or there's going to be an extended cut like 5 years later, they're going to get every version and put it in the new release section because it was new.
They even had Criterions.
They had a Criterion section.
For rentals. It was fucking insane.
God bless that video store as a movie lover.
Just whoever was in charge of that store, I never met them.
I never did either. Whoever owned it, whoever's in charge of it, mwah, is all I can say. Great video store. And anyone that likes video stores, who doesn't love a video store?
A lot of people don't love them anymore.
A lot of people don't even know what they are. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Stupid ass Zoomers.
Yeah, I have thought about going to the last standing Blockbuster just because.
Fuck a Blockbuster.
I will say, one of the guys that ran the one here in town was real cool. He'd let me have all the old posters, just straight up. Mm. Not even pay for them. He's like, just come get them, man.
I was more of a movie center guy.
Oh, same here. I had several accounts.
Fuck with the Blockbusters.
But all movie stores are my children, just some I like better than others. Fair enough.
All right, yes, Mr. Zabrowski.
Sorry. I mean, hey, that's the best way to say it, but...
Yeah.
Macbeth here, Throne of Blood. It is beat for beat Macbeth, to be honest, which is great. I'm glad that he did that. We're going to probably mispronounce some names if we try, but we also might just use the analog character names, because... Shout out to Kurosawa for being a big enough guy to be like, you know what? A great story is a great story.
Yeah.
Because some people would have been like, oh, it's not Macbeth. And it is. You know, there's like people that aren't going to say they're paying homage to something. I just always enjoy when someone's got a good mentality and not like too big of a head as a creative to be like, I didn't lift anything or I'm not inspired by anything. Everything I do is original.
Yeah.
Like.
Which his original shit is amazing.
It's great too. I'm not saying, yeah.
Like. Because this isn't the only Shakespearean adaptation he's done, because The Bad Sleep Well is Hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great-ass movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only movie I've ever seen a man shamed, slapped, and forced out of a window of his own accord. Like, seeing Toshirô Mifune disassemble a grown man and force him to commit suicide... And it's not like he has a weapon on him either. He just shames him out that window.
It's a mental...
With slaps.
A mental push, if you will.
Oh, yes.
Mental murder.
So beautiful. Which, that was a very, very cold and calculated Mifune. Where in this movie, we get a Mifune that doesn't blink real often. And it's real noticeable. And it's real fucking scary.
Yeah, like, I want to get some Visine, man. Because I think me and you were doing, like, counts. And I meant to show you something after about not blinking that I'll do after we record. It was on YouTube or whatever. Just a funny. But, his fucking eyes were intense as fuck during this movie.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. You're seeing a witch and shit. And then things are coming true.
Yeah, getting told a prophecy and it's happening the same day. Like... Yeah, I'd be a little freaked out, and which led to one of the funniest scenes in that movie of Mifune's character, Macbeth, and Mike, who is the Mike analog?
That is,
wrong last night.
That is, Mike was Fleance? Fleance?
No, yeah, that's Mickey's son, Yoshiteru.
Oh, shit, sorry, Where is he? Banco. I'm pronouncing Banquo.
Yeah.
The Macbeth analog. Is that right? Banco or Banco?
Yeah, sounds good enough to me.
Well, it's like everyone else is Macbeth, Macduff, Flint, Malcolm, King Duncan, Three Witches, Banco. Like,
yeah. Only got one witch in this one.
Yeah, which is cool.
Which is really gross. Which, not so much the first time you see the witch, which is still, you know, it's scary as fuck because they approach, Mifune and Mike are going through the woods heading back to their general and run and see a fucking witch. They're like, I don't remember that house being there earlier. And they're like, I don't either. And then she tells them the future and she's just some nasty little old woman that just disappears, which I thought was really neat.
It was cool. And then
said, no puff of smoke, just like, show you my cloak and then I'm gone.
Also, too, I think what me and you both noted, shittiest door ever to her little chilling out crib of all time that they didn't even need to open to talk.
Oh, yeah,
to
they could very clearly see her through the door, but he still opens it and addresses them.
I'm just glad that we got a chuckle out of that.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking the same thing.
But yeah, after they get basically the prophecy is fulfilled the same day as the witch said, and they turn away. And they're walking away from the general, and they are both shook
as hell.
And it is so funny. And Fletcher even brought it up when we were watching, because Mike trying to look over at Mifune, and
they're both walking and in pace with each other.
And they're not blinking.
Yeah,
and they look scared.
Because even they have a little sit down when they're trying to get back to the castle. Like, not with our luck. That prophecy. Like,
but what if?
Yeah, and they're kind of like, what if? But they're like, nah, not us. They were like, we're just some workhorses, kind of was their kind of mentality.
Yeah, which I guess I hadn't read Macbeth in a while, and I kind of was rooting for Mickey because she was like, your luck will run out long before his. And he was like, hell yeah, dude. And, but he died. I forgot he died.
Yeah.
And we get to see, because I guess they're having at this point, Macbeth has already assumed. He's got blood on his hands. He's killed his master. He's lord of the forest castle. And he's like got all of his generals meeting up and they're going to like fight the Innus.
Yeah.
Or the Innu clan, whatever, who they were. You don't really see that. You only see a little bit of them. Yep. You just know they're the bad guys. But then again, they're really not. But yeah, he's having a meeting with his generals, and they're like celebrating something. And Mike hasn't shown up yet.
And everyone's like, "Where's Mike at?"
And he's like, "Oh, he must be running late." And Mifune knows full well he had some guy go out and take Mickey's head.
Yeah.
And he starts seeing Mickey's ghost appearing, and he's like, flips out, pulls a sword, and his wife's like, "Oh no, everybody, he's just drunk.
He's drunk off wine.
He does this shit when he gets drunk. It's okay, it's okay."
And it was funny because all his boys were kind of, no one said like what he has, audio visual hallucinations on wine.
Yeah,
I mean, even though they probably would have known what that was back then, but still.
But they knew enough; they couldn't openly question their lord, which I mean, they totally could have.
The gears were turning their heads too, like getting wild. Sorry if that picked up. I believe it did.
What was it?
Just a Windows security bullshit.
Oh,
my bad.
It's all good. But yeah, we get to see Ghost Mike and really funny hair.
Oh yeah. We did discuss too, and for anyone that knows the answer in the comments, let us know. What's the thing with shaving your head and then having the cool ponytail?
I know as much as I know, the ponytail is a sign of, a status symbol. Like, I'm a bad weeb. I forgot what that means.
I know it's bad if it gets cut, like you were saying last night, but I can't remember. What is the thing where you shave your head? But then some guys have to just naturally be bald, right? And there was the one song.
Yeah, because Mike was bald most of the movie, but then at one point, you see his ghost, he had hair, which I guess I didn't really think about it, because we did get kind of fixated on that, on their haircuts.
Well, there was his son that had the front part of his hair, but had the middle part bald.
Yeah, it was really weird because I thought, oh, that guy
had a full head of hair. Otherwise.
Yeah, because earlier in the movie when the old lord, I guess what's the analog, or the Macbeth analog for him?
I didn't say on the analog list with that one guy that was making the announcement that was like, I fucked up, I'll shave my head.
Oh, no, no, I meant like the king, like the old king. Was it Duncan?
Yes, King Duncan.
Okay, yeah, like King Duncan sitting at the beginning, getting like missives from like messengers and shit from his other forts. And I remember looking at the guy to his right, or, you know, a few chairs to his right, I was like, that guy's got a 1950s haircut. Like, yeah. What the fuck is going on? Then later you see, like, the top of his head is shaved, but just...
Perfect front hairline.
Perfect. And it's just like, I don't...
And still had the little tail in the back. I didn't understand why his was just, you only have to shave, like...
Because I thought it was all...
3/4 of your top of your scalp, but you get to keep your sweet front hairline.
Yeah, because he was the only one that had that. And I mean, most of the time, they just shave the top of your head bald, leave the things on the side, and you get a cool top knot.
Yeah.
But
then I'm like,
he got bangs for some reason.
You know what it always reminded me of? I was going to make a joke last night, because I'm pretty sure, yeah, we did do an episode. Everyone looks like Reggie Bannister from Phantom or Phantasm when they have their hair shaved.
Oh, my God.
Reggie looks more like, I guess I should say, Feudal Japan, kind of.
Yeah,
but Reggie is legit just bald, young.
Yeah, he was.
But he rocked it, kind of, like some of the guys.
I hope to have Reggie here when I get older.
I do. Reggie's the shit. But, yeah, if anyone knows the answer to why, and I assume you too, it's like a shame thing if you fucked up, but I was like, why does some of that one guy, though, get to have his front hair? And I want to say I saw someone else, too, that had, but wasn't him.
Yoshi Terror has that same haircut, too.
Where you have the front part?
Yeah.
Yeah, someone else had it, too.
Yeah, who is the son of Mike,
yeah.
Who, in the prophecy, they're like, yes, Mifune, you will be lord of the forest castle, but eventually Mike's son will basically be the top lord.
Which he thought leaving it to him and his will or whatever before he thought he was going to have a child was going to kind of keep him.
Yeah, he was like, I'm not worried about it. And Mike's like, you know, I'm cool with it. He's like, I'm never going to be king, but that's fine.
My boy will be.
Yeah.
And my boy's helping my actual son, so sweet.
Yeah.
Then, of course, they have a miscarriage or stillborn baby.
Yeah. She had it coming.
She did.
Asagi's a dirty... Asagi and the spirits are dirty bitches in this movie.
You did hit the nail on the head, like, the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie. You're like, that's the lesson of this one. Don't listen to a trifling woman.
Yes. Don't listen to a scheming woman, because she ruined Macbeth.
Yeah. Because I think me and you made a joke, because we paused to go smoke a cigarette. Or maybe I think maybe you said, like, what if he just would have been like, shut up and go to bed, woman? Because back then, and he wouldn't have gone through with any of it.
I cut her fucking head off.
I mean, he still would have had the castle, but he wouldn't have killed King Duncan, and he probably just would have lived a nice nobleman's life.
Yeah, you know what I would have done if I was Mifune Macbeth in that situation? I would have drugged my wife in front of the Lord and be like, hey, Lord.
She's telling me to kill you, dog.
She's trying to commit high treason.
Yeah.
Which... it could backfire on him. They could have been like, well, why the fuck aren't you disciplining your wife, little lord?
Also, too, I think the thing about that, too, is because his king, or Analog Duncan in Throne of Blood, they did say he had to kill his last master, too, to become king, because he was going to try and kill him.
Yeah.
But the thing is, too, like you're saying, if you bring it and be like, hey, my wife's trying to commit high treason, depending on what type of king you serve under, he might be like, oh, thanks, man. Well, better be safe. Better kill you, too.
Maybe not right now.
It could be a double blind.
Maybe not right now. We'll kill your wife right here. We'll get you next week.
Yeah,
we're
not going
to tell you.
Be trying to pull a double blind on me.
Yeah, which she convinces him. Because at first Asagi tries to convince him to kill Mike. And he was like, Mike is my best friend. No.
He's my boy.
Yeah, like, I am not doing it. They used the term best friend. And I thought, was that a term they really used back then?
Probably. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
He did say he's my best friend. But he said something about, I know Mike so well that I know he'd be, like, the worst enemy to have.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, very smart and very...
Get
his spirit
done.
Is so good at fighting. Because I think he said something like, we've shared so many battles together. There's an intimacy there of, you know...
Yeah, and Mike was totally cool with not getting... being the Lord. Like, he was totally fine letting his best friend take over. He's like, I'll serve under you, man.
Mickey was
not fucked up about it.
I think the thing Mickey Mickey.
I know, I was calling him Mickey last night.
That's what I thought about last night.
Sawichi.
He was not blinded by ambition. Yes, he got killed, but obviously of the two friends, I feel like he was the more noble one.
Oh, yeah.
Because he wasn't trying to make the prophecy come true. It did come true, but he never, like, let it blind him. Like, if a genie I left tonight was like, Matt, you're going to get $6 million in a week, and you laughed it off, or a witch outside. Yeah, you might get $6 million, but you can't let that, like, you can't start believing your own hype once that happens, because then you'd start becoming a whole different beast, you know what I mean?
You know what I would do in that situation with $6 million?
What? Become the $6 million man?
No.
Sorry.
No. I would use half of it on research, and I would figure out how to kill that witch.
Oh, that came to you?
I would sacrifice half of my fortune to, like, study and then get rid of it, because I don't want that fucking thing around me.
I feel you.
Because I feel like Mifune Macbeth would have killed her.
So you think Mifune Macbeth would have killed the witch?
Yeah, because he was totally going to strike her down, and Mickey stopped him.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was like, hey, man, you know, don't do that. It's a ghost. Ooh.
Which I guess the thing is, too, though, if you could strike it down, then wouldn't you be worried about being, like, even more fucking cursed? Which, essentially, if you think about it, he kind of got cursed anyway.
Yeah.
In a weird fucked up way, kind of by his own volition, but still.
Because it probably would have played out the same if there was no, fortune-telling witch involved in the story whatsoever.
I will say, I've always wondered if, like, this story as a whole, just that premise, resonates with, like, dictators. Because, you know, like, Macbeth has got to be, like, their Citizen Kane or something. Think about it, like,
maybe for some.
Some, or I don't, I'm sure Stalin was like, oh, Macbeth.
Yeah.
So to a degree.
I'm going to do that, but better.
I'm going to start photoshopping my friends out that I killed.
Yes.
Mm. He did do that, though.
He did. Threw his own son the gulag, didn't even try to save his ass.
I will say, too, just me and Matt were talking last night. The armor is so cool in feudal Japan.
Yeah, everything was so cool. Like, they got cool swords.
Kick-ass Komodos to chill in when they're back at the crib.
Yeah, the only outfit I did not like was Asagi's super shiny kimono. Because I was thinking, like, okay, this movie's in black and white, but, like, what is the actual color of that material? And I bet it's ugly.
Some sort of bronze, maybe, or silver.
I don't know. It was really
popping for black and white.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Didn't like the sound of her feet, her bare feet scraping across the wood. I didn't like that.
We did know she's either the slowest walker of all time or straight up
fast as fuck.
You know when you throw, like, a lawnmower into rabbit?
Yeah.
That you've been, like, just barely above turtle. She goes just turtle to rabbit. There's no in-between for her.
Yeah.
But, you know, she kicked it off with that poison wine on those guards.
That is a really cool scene, too. I almost said something to you last night, but I didn't. Because fuck you.
No. Well, I'm done. Good night, everyone.
Nah, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I know.
Whenever she goes, she tells him, like, I'm gonna go get the poison wine now, and disappears into that utter blackness, and then her coming back out of the blackness.
Yeah, I
thought that was really neat, because they don't really do that. I mean, there's other, like, dark scenes in the movie, but she went into a pitch black room and this emanated out of it. Just, I don't know, really striking with her gross face and her black teeth.
Just because you're a fan of horror movies too, like she liked The Witch. I was gonna run a theory by you last night. Do you think The Witch possessed her to a degree, or the spirit?
No.
Okay. I mean, there were certain times where it seemed like toward the later, where you're talking about the dinner, where he is losing his shit because he's seeing Mickey's ghost.
Yeah.
Which I guess she was putting on an act for everyone. Toward the end, she just seemed more like normal from the first half of the movie.
Yeah. She wasn't.
She's very creepy conniving. And odd, and not making eye contact. And
she also wasn't blinking in a lot of scenes either. That whole scene of her
getting into his head, where she wasn't making eye contact with him.
I just remember she was running and like she goes and opens a gate. But she might have blinked like one time because she goes behind like a pole or a post or something, and you can't see her face. But I was watching the whole time of her in the room, then running out, and I'm like thinking she's not fucking blinking either. Like, yeah. or like, are they doing it on purpose? Because like I said, I've watched a lot of Akira Kurosawa movies. I don't remember that. I don't remember characters not blinking.
I'm like, you said something last night. I kind of agree with you. I think he was telling them do not blink or try to not blink as much as possible. Try and blink as little as possible.
I guess because, I don't know. Just really, really noticeable.
There were some 30 to 40 second stretches of just no blinking.
Yeah, which.
And no cut either.
Yeah, and I can understand with the Mifune Macbeth character. When he's losing his shit and like when he's seriously like debating on like should I really be doing this stupid shit my wife is trying to talk me into, and it like I don't know, and when he was breaking down, like I could understand that, but there were other times where he just wasn't blinking and it was like, dude, why? Like things aren't that tense right now, man.
I will say this, sweet facial hair.
Oh, of course.
On him. He had the best facial hair in the movie. I was noticing everyone's different styles.
Yeah. Because
we liked old Amish guy. We both pointed him out.
Yeah.
And again, does that, because I've seen other stuff that's like set in feudal Japan where there are guys that have the Amish one. Mm-hmm. Does that mean something to shave like that?
Yeah, that was just a style.
Okay, I didn't know if that had something to do with class or status or.
I mean, as far as I know.
Well, I mean, certain cultures, a beard does have different. You know, sometimes it's acceptance of manhood and shit. And
yeah.
Some of them, it's a tragedy in certain cultures to not have a beard or to shave your beard. It's a dishonor or something. Isn't right, isn't it? In like I thought you're supposed to have a beard in Islam or something.
Maybe.
I mean, I
don't know. Not Islamic.
Yeah, I'm not either. I say it's just something. Maybe I'm making that up. I don't think I am, but I swore I've read that somewhere before or heard that.
And just be careful now.
Huh?
Careful what you say.
I'm going on a tangent. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. Don't cancel us. Don't cancel us.
No, I thought that was something in Islam.
I'll fucking me too you in a heartbeat, piece of shit.
Oh, me? Oh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm getting me too, y'all.
Yeah.
Not by you, though. No one's raping you, in the words of a dentist from a...
Whoa, it doesn't have to be rape, dude. Calm down.
Was it a dentist from It's Always Sunny? Well, no one's certainly raping you, ma'am. Mac got so scared. Dennis, are you doing that? Are you raping these girls on this?
No, it's the implications.
But before we get off on a tangent, we need to talk about that Arrow scene.
Yeah, all right.
That's pretty kind of violent for 57.
It's pretty crazy. I was thinking I remember seeing kind of like the special effects when he gets popped in the neck with the arrow.
That looks cool as hell.
I remember seeing some like behind the scenes, like how they did that, and it was really cool. And I want to say it was shot in reverse, that part. And I was thinking, oh, okay, the other arrows are filmed in reverse too. Then watching it again, I was like, oh, I am fucking wrong. Like,
is that how they did the neck? Because I was wondering.
I'm pretty
that
sure the
last
neck
night.
One's like they like
just a reverse
it.
Shot, like they're pulling it out or pulling it to. I don't know. It looked wild.
I forget, but I want to say they reversed that part of it. But the other fucking arrows were not reversed because that did not even look like it last night. Because you could kind of tell when he got popped in the neck that they cut.
Yeah, there was a slight cut,
but not for any of those other fucking arrows shot.
Yeah, that's why I meant to say you need to watch just the last scene of Hero where there's a wall of arrows coming at Jet Li. But I mean like 1,000 dudes let arrows out on him at the same time. He's just like, all right.
Yeah, which to set the scene, it's basically the end of the movie, end of the story. Macbeth, everyone he's crossed, all of his enemies, they're all banding together. His own people are banding together against him. He's in the forest castle with his men, and he's like, he'd went out that previous morning, found the witch again, and the witch is like, you'll never lose a battle unless the forest moves.
And he's like, well, that can't happen.
And he's like, oh, well, I'm fucking good then. And he goes and he reveals that prophecy to his men. And he's like, and I'll never fucking lose. Bah! And everyone's like, yeah, fuck yeah, fuck yeah. And then, like, the next morning, like, he wakes up to all of his men running away. And he's like, what the fuck? Get back here. And they're like, no, dude, look at the forest. We're out of here.
Fuck that.
And the forest is moving in on them, which is a really cool.
Visually very cool.
Yeah, because there's a lot of mist.
And trees just moving.
It's just really cool.
What was that? It looked like the Evil Dead trees were coming to get him.
Yeah. But, yeah, he sees that. He realizes, like, oh, fuck. And he goes and tries to rally his men one last time from a fucking parapet. And he's just like, blah, blah, blah. And he gets quiet for a second. And then the only response is a single arrow loose that hits the wall next to him. And he looks at it. And then just multiple arrows. Everyone just starts shooting arrows. And I thought, man, this could only be funnier if it is as soon as that first arrow hit, it cut to the one dude in the crowd that shot it, and then everyone else kind of looking at him. Because, like, a couple seconds, like, I don't know, 2 seconds later, there's like four more arrows loose, and then everyone's just shooting.
It's like 6, 7, 8, 10, 12.
Oh, dude, yeah, so many arrows pumped towards him. He's getting popped. Like,
it was the equivalent of a murder getting up or getting jump started by like someone doing that silent, that slow clap in an audience.
Yeah.
That first guy was the guy that was like, hang on.
Yeah, that was a.
After someone speaks.
Yeah.
But that was him with that first little tink arrow.
But yeah, like, one arrow and then just so many more. And he's just frantically running around this top section of his fort, just getting fucking pelted. And then, like,
Dodging for a little bit.
Then he takes one to the arm really early. Then he starts taking him to the chest. Which, I mean, he's wearing armor, but they're fucking arrows. Like, they're still hitting him.
One or two might have bounced off, but then they started staying in.
Yeah. And eventually, like, and he's just, like, raking down, like, I don't know, just a bunch of arrows breaking him with his hands, trying to get past him because he's frantically trying to figure out where the fuck he's going to run. Then he takes one in the back, and you can tell, like, ooh, that was the kill shot. And all those archers, you see them running up the stairs, and then they all retreat, which I thought was really goofy. Them like, whoa, shit, the dude we've been shooting with arrows is coming at us. And
he did take an obscene amount of arrows and was still going.
Yeah, which he proceeds to walk down the stairs, get into the courtyard, he attempts to pull his katana out, and only gets like an inch or two, and then falls over dead. But probably one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, great death scene.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, that neck one was the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then he takes it in the neck.
That was the cherry on top, if you will.
Yeah, because the one that hit him in the back, it zooms in on his face, and he's like, he realizes, okay, that one.
He kind of knew, I'm fucked.
Yeah, I'm fucked. And then he's like, I'm going to go down there and fight all of my men, which is pretty badass.
Yeah.
But shouldn't have been a piece of shit. Shouldn't have killed your friends. Shouldn't have listened to your trifling wife.
Yeah, don't, like we said, don't listen to a trifling woman.
Your greedy...
She was greedy.
I mean,
that's the best way to put it. I will say this for the thing. You were talking about the one guy that shoots the first one off. What if he would have tried saving face? Like, sorry, safety was off or some shit.
What if everyone else wasn't cool with that and they just butchered the fuck out of that one dude?
What if he would have been like, oh, I'm sorry, safety's off. My bad, y'all. Or what if he was like, I thought I saw something. My bad.
Oh, I thought it was an enemy.
It was a rat. Because remember, they were like, the rats have even left here earlier.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of silly.
Because I'm pretty sure we both were like, was that just a rat we just saw running?
Oh, yeah, no, there totally was. Like, a little rat in the background when they were talking about it. Because you get cool little, like, oh, when he first takes lordship of, the secondary castle, they're like, hell yeah, dude. Like some of his men that serve him, they're up in, like, one of the towers. And they're like, damn, dude, this is a crazy view, you know. Staying with Mifune is fucking awesome. Like, we're doing so good right now. Then eventually,
were talking to the gossip. Like, although there's been chatter of him,
yeah,
there's something like, yeah, I think the rats are even. I think we might be cursed.
Yeah, which I like that. Just the same four dudes that's, you know,
shooting the shit out there on the.
Yeah, you get a little I guess, temperature reading on how things are going.
Up in the ranks.
Yeah.
Which I was like, was that rat meant to be there, or was that just happened to be a rat in the background? I wondered that.
If it wasn't a rat, it was a fucking leaf or something.
No, I think it was a rat. I'm saying, was it meant to be there, or was it just a happy coincidence?
I don't know.
That's the beauty of it.
I do not know.
Well, do you want to rate this one and get out of here, Bubba? We're about 35 minutes.
I mean,
I know what I'm rating it.
I'm giving it a 10 out of 10. I fucking love this movie. This is, and I thought about it today, this is the oldest movie we've covered on the podcast.
Yeah, it is. It's from 1957.
Yeah, 1957 still fucking holds up in 2024.
Yeah, I'm giving it 10 as well. 10 arrows to the neck.
Yeah,
it holds up.
10 perfect Mifunes.
Again, too, it's a testament to William Shakespeare's writing and Akira Kurosawa's filmmaking.
Yeah, and Mifune's acting.
And also,
everyone else, too. I don't know. Mifune's the main guy in a lot of them.
Correct me if I'm wrong or help me remember, man. I'm glad you brought up how old it is. This is like the only second thing I think we've ever done in black and white, or the only thing we've done in black and white. Did we do an episode on The Lighthouse? Or did we just watch that?
I think we just watched that. I don't think we ever covered that one.
I can't remember off the top of my head. But either way, this is either the first thing we've done in black and white, fully in black and white, correct?
I would say so.
Unless we did The Lighthouse. Either way, it's only the second one we've ever done, which
I don't think we did The Lighthouse.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I just remember watching it twice in one night.
Yeah.
And I personally just... I like black and white shit. I grew up watching it. I've always enjoyed, like, the Munsters. And
I mean...
It's not a deal breaker for me. There are people that will not watch stuff if it's not in color, and I never quite got that.
It's not so much the black, the color. It's just, like, old movies like that. Like, I don't know how many other old movies from 1957 I can be this excited about.
Some of the Bogart ones
ever in my fucking life.
Some of the Bogart ones are good. I've watched... I used to have VHSs of Maltese Falcon.
I mean, I've seen, like, bits of that. I've seen, like, Casablanca.
Casablanca.
When I was, like, way younger, and it was just like, why the fuck? Which, granted, I was a child watching it, but then again, even if I watched it, like, right now, I don't think I'd like that
movie. I used to watch, like, when I was a kid, like, I Love Lucy and The Monsters and Gunsmoke, and I've watched a little bit of Rawhide.
Well, see, I watched I Love Lucy, too, but I hated it.
No. Yeah, I'm just saying I grew up watching
and,
certain
things.
And,
like, the Monsters pissed me off.
And I'm trying to remember Dick Van Dyke shows in black and white. Twilight Zone, I'm a big fan of that.
No, Dick Van Dyke I did like.
But did you like the original Rod Serling Twilight Zones?
Oh, yeah, they're pretty good.
See, they're all in black and white. So that's just what I'm saying. Like, there are people I've seen actively on the internet. They're like, I don't watch anything unless it's in color. And I'm like, you're just leaving a lot on the table. Like, they wouldn't watch this because it's not in color.
Yeah, wouldn't watch this. Couldn't watch Sin City.
Yeah, like, see, I don't know if that would count or not. But, like, yeah, they're like, I won't watch.
Because, I mean, there. I guess technically there is a little color in that movie.
Yeah, like.
Which I'm thinking The Lighthouse, too. I think there was, like, some yellow when you see.
When he goes up to the lighthouse part.
I'm talking about the naked Defoe grabbing.
Oh, yeah.
Grabbing and the light coming out of his eyes. I think that was yellow.
I think it was, too. But, again, I can't remember if we did an episode on that or not.
I don't think we did.
But I guess there's just people, like, if color was not an option, because I don't think there's no color version of this unless someone went and colorized it, which I don't think they have. But, like, there are people like, if they couldn't make it in color back then, I won't fucking watch it. And I'm like, that's kind
of
weird.
Yeah, because these are great movies. And, like, most of Kurosawa's movies are in black and white.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of 60s movies from here, even. Like,
yeah.
Some of the early Steve McQueen's, like, Hells for Heroes, that's all black and white. Never fucked with me. But let's get on out of here. We just want to say, Akira Kurosawa, a gem. If you haven't seen any of his movies, definitely watch this. Definitely watch Seven Samurai, and definitely watch Yojimbo. If you can only watch three, off the top of my head, those are three great ones. But he has several films.
Yes.
And didn't even start fucking with color till the early 80s, right? Late 70s, maybe?
I think Ron... Oh, nah, because there's one that starts with a K, like Kageshi or Kagashimon. That one's in color. I've never seen that one, though. I don't think that's one of his better ones. But then again, I could be fucking wrong about that.
Again, like I said, Stray Dog Struts, and we were talking about that last night, and that one's black and white, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
yeah. Ron's the only one I've ever watched
or
in
owned
color.
This color?
Kagamusha. That's the name of the other one. I'm pretty sure that one's was an 80s one and in color.
Because he didn't make anything after Ron, did he? Or maybe if he did, it was...
I do not know.
When did he die, 97? Somewhere around
I'm
there?
A bad fan. I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. But guys, please go check out Throne of Blood.
Yeah.
Sorry. And Macbeth too. If you've never watched one of the movies.
Hey, yeah. If you're an asshole that's never read Macbeth, read Macbeth, and then you can be like, "Oh, I read Shakespeare now."
Because I do like plays in the movies a lot too. It usually works pretty good. But
yeah,
we'll catch everyone on the next one.
Bye.
Peace.